Conversations are written based on my recollection, extensive notes, and personal audio recordings. I compressed and rearranged a few timelines, grouping similar events to serve the storyline's arc. Otherwise, this book recounts the truth of my life as I remember it. Prologue. This book is a betrayal. In Appalachia, where I grew up, no one talks about family secrets or sexual abuse or rape or being hit or being beaten within an inch of your life or mental illness or going hungry or without heat. Our rugged and ingenious Scotch-Irish ancestors had anarchy baked in their bones. Sharing or showing vulnerability is a sign of weakness, an almost certain death in our land of steep mountains, winding muscular rivers, and narrow valleys. We don't talk about the guilt, fear, confusion, isolation, and abandonment we feel in every cell of our bodies. And so, in these hills and hollows, each generation of reticent leaves on our family trees is born bruised. Mountain culture is rooted in a deep sense of loyalty, us versus them. We are raised to be suspicious of outsiders, especially the absentee coal mine owners and landowners who have exploited our family's labor for generations. We are raised to be suspicious of the factory owners who keep families indebted to the company store just to feed and house their children. We are raised to circle the wagons. We protect one another by silently braving the hardships our kin have endured for generations. We tough it out and don't complain. We drink and drug to suppress the pain that has been passed down and down and down through blood. We shut up and shut down in isolation. But trauma doesn't heal in isolation. So I share the details to speak the unspeakable. To be the woman today I needed as a girl back then. This book is a betrayal in that I am disobeying the patriarchy. My father controlled me in order to keep his secrets locked away, all the while telling me, "This happened to me, so it's happening to you." But he underestimated the power of my hidden words to reveal the truth. Even though, as a child, I could neither grasp nor articulate the effects of his tyranny, I poured my confused, battered heart into my diary to relieve my pain. I didn't stop writing, filling endless notebooks and journals for decades, until I found my voice and the truth. He thought he had succeeded in shuttering my ability to love and dream. He threatened my life if I were ever to fall in love with someone else. I was his property. But he failed to stop my heart, even though I was numbed for decades by the fear of being hunted in my home and hometown, where the daily newspaper is filled with stories of missing teenage girls and husbands murdering their wives. I am violating that code of silence and dissociation, yet I am here because I am angrier about what happened to me than I am scared of him. This book is a betrayal in that the life I have created for myself challenges the Appalachian norm that discourages girls from being educated and independent. Instead, girls are taught to be quiet and make the food and fuck the men and boys and become factory girls and not think. I was taught that girls and women were supposed to make everyone else's life easier than our own. This book is a betrayal in that I describe how my childhood dreams of going to college and becoming an academic saved my life, leading me away from our small central Pennsylvania mill town where intellectual curiosity is suspect. Over 40 years ago, my mother recognized my academic talent as my way out. She was determined that I go to college far away from my hometown so I could enjoy the educational, economic, and travel opportunities.